This is the Make Money Blogging Podcast, episode 36 with digital nomad wannabe founder, Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm giving you an update from my latest case study, as well as discussing how my new sites are going where I'm not doing any link building. This case study is about my blog about Malaysian travel that I started in October 2018, so just over 3.5 years old at the time of recording this. It's continued to grow since Malaysia finally opened its borders on April 1 of this year. I've also had questions about how my sites are progressing where I haven't been building any links. I introduced these in episode 32, and I'm going to talk about these a little more today as well. Now, this episode is for you if you love my case study updates or if you're curious about building sites without any link building while still relying on SEO. If you've never heard or read one of my updates before, I do recommend you listen to episode 12 first, where I introduce this case study more, and then come back to this.
Welcome to the Make Money Blogging Podcast with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Each week on this show, you'll find actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income from your blog with no fluff, so you can quit the day job and have more freedom to do what you love. From SEO to affiliate marketing to blogging business strategies, it's all here. Let's start with your host, digitalnomadwannabe.com founder, Sharon Goulet.
I'm going to start with the case study update and then move on to discussing the sites I'm building without link building. Apologies in advance if my voice fails or it sounds a bit funny or I struggle a little. I'm battling some type of illness at the moment. It's flu, COVID, and just general colds that seem really crappy seem to be ravaging my home city of Melbourne at the moment. You know, a side effect of our national borders being shut for the last two winters is that we really kept a lot of nasties out of the country, not just COVID, and now it's like we're playing catch up and it's just really not fun. It's one thing after another. I didn't want to wait any longer to record this as there's only one more week before we fly to Europe for 3 months. So I just wanted to power through and get it out there for all of you. But back to the case study. This is my 13th update and you can watch and listen to the first 12 at digitalnomadwannabe.com/case study. Like I said before, I recommend you at least listen to episode 12 of my podcast first, and then you can get an overview of this case study, and you can find that also at digitalnomadwannabe.com/case study. Now, my last update was just a month ago in episode 35 with April figures from the first month after the border opened. And I'll be referencing those figures as I go along so you can see the growth for May. Now, don't forget you can find today's show notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode36. And if you enjoy today's show, make sure you subscribe to the Make Money Blogging Podcast and leave a review. It's the best way to keep me motivated to do more of these. Now, in April, my traffic was 114,000 page views and 77,000 users, which by far was my best month ever. Now, things improved further in May with 132,000 page views and 88,000 users. Now, I was hoping things might keep rising steeply as they had been in the traffic area, but the last couple of weeks were relatively flat growth, so it seems like traffic is somewhat stabilized for now and it won't just keep going up massively by itself, unfortunately. Now, in March, I made $683. That was right before the border opened. In April, it was $2,186, which was over my best month that I've ever had on the site. Now, it did keep rising, and in May, it got up to just about $3,000 at $2,954. Now, at the end of last year, when I set my financial goals for the year across all my business, I actually only put $3,000 for this site combined with my Philippines site. So I'm obviously very happy to be about hitting that one on just one site already. Of course, when I made that goal, it's not like that was an intelligent goal. You know, the border wasn't open. I really didn't know what would happen. I was feeling pretty down about it all. And I was trying not to be too crazy optimistic. But I mean, I was worried $3,000 was crazy optimistic. So I'm glad I've hit that, even if it wasn't really based on any good reason that I made that number up. So to break that down further, Agoda bookings is the biggest chunk of that through travel payouts. And that was about $1,141. Now, this is an estimate. If you use Agoda, Booking, whatever, if you use any of the hotel affiliates, you know that some get cancelled. So the number I take is about 70% of what is actually booked, because I find that pretty reasonable at the moment. I actually, in some ways, find less are cancelled now than what were pre-COVID, because across all my sites, actually, most people are only booking for the current month or the next month. So there are some further out, you know, which are more likely to get cancelled. But the ones that are booked for the current month, you know, they've already stayed in them, so they're already confirmed. Those are like 100%. And if they're the next month, they're more likely to get taken up too. So I feel like doing 70% is being very reasonable. The next was in ads. So that's mostly Azoic. In Azoic, you can also use other ad networks at the same time and they'll bid against each other, and it's a way to optimize your revenue. So I do have AdSense set up as well for this site. While the majority of the money is Azoic, at times Azoic will decide, you know, AdSense actually bidding higher for that spot. So it helps maximize your earnings. And if you use Azoic, I do recommend you turn on mediation, and it's called Inside the Tool, and you can have AdSense as well or any other ad network that you like, so that you'll always get optimized earnings. Now, I will say, in saying that, if you turn that on, I know for some of my sites, it's like Azoic always wins and I don't really make AdSense earnings. But for this site, a couple of $100 of the earnings were from AdSense. So all up, it was $1,035 from ads. And I'm still quite happy with that because I do have quite a sizable Asian audience as part of that site. Next up is Klook. So it's activities and tours and other things. Now, that was only $180 in April and it was $477 in May, which would be fantastic if it went up that much. But actually, some of that is earnings from other months. I just suddenly had all these bookings come through on travel payouts which for previous months, which weren't showing before. I need to check with them exactly how their tracking works with that because it was a little bit confusing to me, but I'm really glad that it suddenly had a whole lot. So I did include it all this month when technically some of it was in previous months, but it is the first time it's shown up on these income reports and I didn't want it lost. So $477. Next up, in bus and ferry tickets. I am affiliates of two different companies that have a lot of Malaysian bus and ferry tickets, EasyBook and Bus Online Ticket. And all up, those two sites were $262, which was exactly the same as April, coincidentally. And I made $39 from my digital product. At the moment, I haven't made any money from rental cars, but that reporting is only updated twice a month. So it's updated I think it's meant to be updated tomorrow at the time of recording this. So it is possible I did make money, but I just wanted to get this out. So we'll just say $0. Now, if you've been following this case study, you know I don't just care about how much money I make, but also RPM, so how much money I make per 1,000 users, because it's been quite low and I'm really interested in rising that because I think that will make the biggest difference to my earnings. And it also makes a big difference to whether I'm happy to add more content, like I just discussed in the previous episode. You know, it's got to make enough money, like per piece of content, that it's worth creating more. So in March, it was $14.09 or 1.4 cents per user. In April, it went up to $28.39 or $2.83 per user. And I'm happy to say it went up again in May. Yay. It was $33.60 or 3.36 cents. So much better. I'm very happy with that rise, obviously, and hopefully it keeps going up. While I generally aim for 10 cents per user on any of my sites, I mean, at the moment, I just really love to get this site to 5 cents. I feel like that's a fair amount for the way the world is at the moment. We travel and having an Asian audience and all of that. So we did add a couple of articles to the site in May, and I have had a VA checking every post. And they actually, time of recording this, it's the 4th of June. They actually finished that yesterday. You know, there was over 200 posts, so now there's a whole lot of notes. But actually, there's very few things that need updating. It's usually just little things like the link to the activity in Klook is currently not available. But the activity actually still exists. I really just have to hope it goes back on at Klook at some point. So there are a few things to update, a few hotels have shut and things like that. But actually, it's very few things, less than I expected. So I'm pretty excited by that because it's not so much work to fix. And I factored in time in July for one of my writers to work on this. Now, like I said last month, I'm not doing too much at the moment on this site because, you know, I have 1,000 sites and I'm about to take 3 months off. So at the moment, it's been about wrapping things up as much as I can so people have work to do in the background while I'm away. I'm also dropping a lot of my outsourcing when I'm away because, you know, it does take my time and effort to manage that. So everything's going to be a lot less for 3 months. So I really can't look at it. When I come back, I really want to dive into it though, no pun intended. Especially because I'm hoping to go to ITB Asia in Singapore in October and finally start networking with Malaysian companies like I'd planned to in March 2020 in Berlin. And as you all know, a lot happened in March 2020, so I didn't make it to that conference. But I'm hoping to really get back on this because my goal for this site has always been to be much more than just traffic and affiliates. And I do want to make, you know, some partners in the region. So I really want to start trying to work on that. So that's my Malaysia site. Now, as promised, I did say I was going to talk about the content sites I'm building without links. So I do tend to, in my head and in my business documentation, I call it content sites, which, I mean, you could argue all my sites are, but it's sort of how I distinguish it. So I actually introduced these sites back in episode 32. So you can go listen to that for more background information if you're interested in this topic and why I started them. because I'm really going to gloss over that here, except to say that, you know, I did 3 sites. I want to give this model a go without link building because it would be easier to scale. And these are basically sites where you build tons of content on a given topic where there's very low competition for keywords. So you less care what the search volume is. You just want really low competition and you don't want to do any link building. So it really does need to be super low competition. I built 3 sites like this because, you know, not everything ever works. It's not like everything works out every time, right? So with 3 sites, if one of them fails, hopefully I still have 2 that go well and I'm not writing off the method just because, you know, my 1 attempt failed. So that's why I have 3. They all have at least 100 articles written on them now with low competition keywords. You know, all the experts I read, I did a course on this. Like I put a lot of work into this, make sure I'm doing it the best job I can, you know, because it costs a fair bit. I outsourced the vast majority of these articles. I didn't want to invest all this money without knowing what I'm doing. So, you know, they're low competition keywords. You do need a ton of articles. They average around 1,500 words per article. It's too early to see what's happening. But the first one I started is progressing nicely. So it's in the health niche and I started putting articles on it in the end of July, although it was slow going because initially I was writing them myself. I broke my ankle, like lots of things going on, and it really didn't finish until February. So it's hard for me to say what date I should start this from because I feel like end of July, which is nearly a year ago now, isn't really reflective because, you know, one article doesn't really make a website. But I have actually owned this domain for many years and it's had content, some content on it aging for 7.5 years. Okay, this did seem to give it a head start when I compare its traffic growth with the other sites I'm going to talk about. It has like taken off a little quicker and I feel that's probably because of the domain. So in May, it was up to 15,000 page views, just under. I think it was like 14,900 or something. So we'll just say 15,000. Many articles are in the top 10 for their main keyword and it's currently monetized with Azoic and Amazon. And it made $221 in May. So it's off to a good start. I'm pretty happy with that. I really hope, obviously, for that to go up and hit my goals by the end of the year. Now, the next site I started is in the pets niche on a brand new domain. And I started in October and I had all 100 articles up by the end of December. So it's tracking much slower, but it is still tracking similarly to the first site, but just behind a fair bit. So it was 2,300 page views for May. And it's not monetized yet apart from a few Amazon links around the place. It is trending up though. So is the other site. So I'm really hoping it's just about being patient. The final site is about gardening and the 100 articles went up on this between December and February. Where this is more interesting is they put it on an existing site, which did have link building in the past. So it has existing authority, but it was in the personal finance niche and does earn about $500 to $1,000 a month in this already. But it has been slowing down. It was trending down, which is why I decided to try and repurpose it because I feel like it's just a matter of time and it will be dead. And a lot of the earnings from it actually come from the fact that they're like recurring earnings, you know, so it's not like I just earned that money, like fresh affiliates. I mean, I don't know. There's no way in my reporting to see what it earned from new people on the site, but it would only be a small proportion of that. So I thought it was worth giving it a try, rebranding it with a different like content really, although it does still have the other content on it, just see what happens because it should have got a head start. I mean, this is very new, putting this content up. You know, it only finished like 3.5 months ago, putting the 100 articles. It's really not doing much at all, so I'm not feeling very confident that it's going to work, having switched the direction. It's hard for me to say exactly how much traffic because it's mixed in with the other content, which does better. But, you know, it is still early days, so I'll give it longer. I'm not too worried. When I decided to do this experiment, I was like, I can just move the site. I'll just move all the gardening content to a new domain that's just about gardening if necessary. And I actually think it might even be better off doing it this way around. It might speed up faster traffic-wise just because I've had such good results lately moving content between sites like to new domains. For example, earlier this year, I had Australian travel content on 3 different sites that also covered other topics. And I moved them all to a brand new domain specifically about Australian travel and used redirects. And it was about 38 posts, I think I've moved, 30-something anyway. And most are in the top 10 now when they weren't before and I haven't done anything. Like all I did literally was move the content, or my VA moved the content actually. There were 2 collabs that pointed directly to the content on the old sites where I asked them to update the link and that is it. All I've done. And most of them are in the top 10. It's the traffic's taken off by itself. It even has got a boost since the update that happened like a bit over a week ago. So yeah, it's quite amazing. You know, I've never actually ranked so easily for keywords like things to do in X so easily. So the redirects do seem super powerful. And I feel like if I move the gardening content to another site, that they'll probably take, like, at the point where I move it with the redirects, they'll probably go really well really quickly. So yeah, that's sort of like my worst case, and I'm happy with that. So yeah, I don't know. I was interested just to see, because I have a few sites, a few domains that have some authority that aren't really working out for me, where it would be great if I could just repurpose like this. So that's why I thought it was worth the experiment. So back to my content sites, you know, it's not so interesting at the moment, but hopefully it will be more interesting by the end of the year. My goal on each site is that each article makes $10 a month. That's what I factor in when I work out how much I can afford to outsource them. So I would hope these sites will get to $1,000 a month with existing content, which, you know, not like that's an amazing figure, but it would mean that I'll make a profit and I'll start making money, and I would definitely keep reinvesting in this process if I can do that. In fact, I'm already am putting more content on that offsite. So we're just sort of working on 3 articles a week on that site till I get it to 200 articles at the moment. So you can find the show notes for today's episode at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode36. And if you have any questions, you can ask there or in the DNW Facebook group at dnwcommunity.com. Now, make sure you subscribe to this channel, because next episode I'll hopefully be coming to you from Europe. I'll hopefully feel a lot better and I'll have more exciting insights to share. I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Make Money Blogging with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income for your blog, so you can build a blogging business you love. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.